queers and stuff, and we're Allison, and we're Shan, and this is Vintage Lesbians.
Hello and welcome to Vintage Lesbians, a personal journey of friendship and queer history where we try to set the record a little less straight. I am Shan, one of your hosts.
And I'm your other host, Allison.
Allison.
Shan.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
That's really good to hear.
Yeah. So I've been in therapy, as you know. I've talked about it both on the podcast and off the podcast. One of the rare times that we do talk when we're not being recorded. But one of the things that I've been working on in therapy is, like, reclaiming my sexuality and really owning it, really, like, unlearning things. So I went to a thrift store today and I found a powerful tool that I think might be helpful on my journey.
Did you?
This is a book. You can tell it's a book because I just hit the table with it.
And everything made a noise.
And it's called So You Want to Be a Lesbian? By Liz Tracy and Sydney Pucorny.
Is it pretty corny? Or
I've looked through it a little bit and part of it has... A lot of it hasn't really aged well.
Ugh.
But there are some things that are helpful. And we actually talked about it and we're going to talk about this more in a Patreon exclusive episode.
Yeah, so there's some like... There's some quizzes in there that we're going to take and some notes by the previous owner.
Would you like a sample?
I would love a sample.
Okay, so proof that this hasn't aged well. This is the chapter on fashion and clothing. And there are things like must-haves, things you should consider, things you should never wear. And so must-haves include things like leather jacket, big black clunky shoes. You know, that's all fair.
Yeah, definitely.
Accessories you should consider, a baseball cap, oval framed glasses, tattoos, okay. Things you should never ever wear, flannel.
What the fuck?
So.
That's, how are we supposed to know that you're a lesbian if you don't wear the tartan? Like.
Yeah, no. They also recommend not wearing men's golfing clothes, but I feel like the lesbians of today could really pull that off.
Polo shirts are comfy as hell. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to do that little episode.
It's going to be fun.
On the Patreon. It's $7 a month if you want in on that.
But where would I go to do that?
You would go to patreon.com/vintagelespod. That's LESPOD.
Oh, okay. I'll do that right now. Click, click, click. Type send. That was me on the computer.
A new patron.
Yes. Killing. Shan, may I ask you a question? How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, I think. Might surprise you to know that I have trouble identifying my emotions.
So we missed last week.
We did. I went on a little Canadian vacation with my partner up to introduce them to my family and see my cousin graduate from veterinary technical college. So got to watch my cousin walk and spend some time with family and... basically spend like the week eating just meals with different family members. There was so much food and so much talking and so many of the same questions.
Would you like to give us a sampling of one of the most frequently asked questions?
So, Joe, what do you do? Thank you, Joe, for fielding all the questions and all the family drama and all the stress. You are lovely and I love you.
Aww. Shan, it's Pride Month.
It is Pride Month. It's the gayest of all months. Gayest of months. Yeah, I'm pretty excited to go to some prideful events with other proud queers.
I love Pride Month. It feels so good. It feels so happy.
It feels so brightly colored.
Mm-hmm. I came out to my parents almost exactly a year ago.
Wow, you did.
Yeah.
So we have kind of a big announcement before we get into the meat of our episode today.
Oh, tell me, I'm on pins and needles.
I'm on pins and needles too, and I know what it is. So we are going to have a children's book author on the show. We're going to interview her about her new book, It Feels Good to Be Yourself. Teresa Thorne's going to be on our show. And that episode's going to be up June 24th. So if you have any questions for Teresa Thorne, you can support us on Patreon. It's $7 a month, and we will ask her your questions. And for those of you who are patrons, send us your questions and send them before June 15th, please. And thank you. We're so excited. I'm so and excited. Like,
we can't let her would... know that we're so excited though. She's gonna know we're a baby podcast.
She's gonna know that we're not cool. I just feel really excited that we get to do this, and that we get to connect with cool people who make cool things. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the book's wonderful, and I started crying the second I started reading it. So
I was gonna say we're not gonna say too much because we are definitely gonna talk about it with her. But you should check out that book.
You should definitely check out that book and buy it wherever you purchase books. Let's get into today's episode.
Jan, I have no idea what we're going to be talking about today.
No idea at all, huh?
Mm-hmm. You didn't tell me. You've been. Sometimes we even get like texts that say things like, "I'm in love with the person I'm talking about." I think that's more me to you, though. I fall in love very easily.
I do it sometimes. I do love them. Today, we're going to talk about two different people. Whomst collectively are known as the Ladies of Llangollen.
I've heard of them.
Have you?
I don't know much. I think I've only heard of them when we first announced this podcast, because our friends started saying, oh, you should look into them.
What do you think you know about them?
They were gay and British.
Wonderful. Okay, let's dive right in.
All
right. Lady Eleanor Butler.
Yes, classic British name.
Was born in Ireland.
Okay. Irish. They were Irish.
In 1739, the third and last daughter of Walter Butler and Eleanor de Montmorency Morris.
Those are very, very good names. Can you hit me with mom's last name again?
De Montmorency Morris.
Ooh. Say it one more time.
De Montmorency Morris.
Okay. All right. Keep going.
She had one younger brother, and then that was enough kids for some reason.
You know, good for them. Modern family.
Well, no, they stopped having children when they produced a male heir.
Oh. Yeah. I forgot about that. Okay. I was just like, low birth weight. I can respect that.
She was pretty well educated, as was the norm for her class of nobility. Her father was the Earl of Ormond of Kilkenny Castle.
Nice.
She was educated at a convent in France, and she spoke French well, and she loved to read, and she was very independent, and she spent most of her life just avoiding marriage, as her sisters made very good marriages, and as her brother, you know, became the Earl of Ormond. She was very content to just spend the rest of her life reading through the family library, but her family was pretty insistent that she go to a convent because they needed to get rid of her.
If you're not going to get married,
you're not bringing in any money.
You've got to get married to God.
You're not bringing in any power. So go and make up for your brother's betrayal to God and join a Protestant convent, please.
Wait, her brother betrayed God?
So their earldom was a Catholic one, and her brother converted to be a Protestant.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. You can't do that in Ireland
in the
1700s.
You can't, because it's an affront to God. Mm-hmm. But in his mind, if she went to a Protestant convent, that would even it out, I guess.
But it's still Protestant.
Yeah, but he was Protestant, so his whole family had to be.
Okay.
Otherwise, it would look bad, because he's the Earl, and he's in charge.
Yeah. Oh, Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't get his logic, however.
It wasn't really his logic. It was the church's logic.
Oh.
Anyway, it's not about him. He was straight, probably.
Did she go to the convent?
She didn't.
Oh.
When she was 29.
I'm 29.
I'm almost 29. She was 29. She was a spinster, a thornback, if you want to get really, really.
I'm a thornback.
I'm also a thornback. High five. When she was 29, an orphan girl of about 13 years old moved into the county just about 10 miles away, and her friend, Lady Betty, asked her to keep an eye on her new adopted daughter.
Lady Betty.
Lady Betty.
Okay.
Sarah Ponsonby.
Ooh, say that one more time.
Sarah Ponsonby.
Okay, continue.
Was born in 1755, the third daughter of Chambre Brabazon Ponsonby, and the only daughter of Louisa Lyons.
You know, I like that. It's less pretentious, but it's got some nice alliteration.
She had two older half-sisters. Father was divorced two times by the time he married her mother. Her mother died when she was just 3 years old in 1758. Her father remarried and had two more children, Sarah's half-brother and half-sister, before he died when Sarah was seven in 1762. And just 6 years later, her stepmother, who had been caring for her, also died.
Oh, Sarah.
Yeah, and she found herself totally alone and without a home, and she went to live in County Kilkenny, taken in by her kind-hearted cousin, the Lady Elizabeth Founds, known as Lady Betty, and her husband, Sir William Founds.
Well, hang on a minute. Could this be the very same person you were talking about just moments ago?
Yes. Caught on, have you?
Continue.
Ha ha ha. My brilliant ruse. despite the 16-year age difference, the two got along very well. They both spoke French and loved French philosophy. The pretentious fucks. they loved long walks and French novels that they discussed at length. And together they talked about what they saw as a perfect retirement, where one could focus only on activities to improve the self. Reading, learning languages, sketching, doing charitable works, gardening, etc.
I would like that retirement, yes.
I would like it very much, too. It sounds like a lot. You have a lot of money and time. These were very, like, despite the less than ideal circumstances of their lives, they were very privileged. Mm-hmm. Like, yes. Extremely so. But over the next 10 years, the two became extremely close. They exchanged letters all the time and spent a lot of time together, and sometimes they exchanged their letters secretly, especially as their home lives worsened. Because Eleanor was almost 40 and was being pushed very, very hard to get to a convent, because there was no hope of marriage for her. Who's going to marry a 39-year-old?
Razorback.
Sarah was having problems of her own. Her cousin Lady Betty was not healthy. She was sure to die soon, and Sir William Founds decided that it was now an appropriate time to approach Sarah about marrying him after Betty dies.
Gross.
Because he liked her a lot, and at 50 thought that he was still pretty enough and good enough to produce a male heir for his line. He was pretty determined about it. It was...
No.
Yeah, his wife was not even dead.
No.
Like, she was not. On the night of March 10th, 1778, dressed as a man carrying a pistol and her little dog Frisk, Sarah absconded out her bedroom window.
First of all, okay, there's a lot to unpack right there.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
So, yeah, March 10th of 1778, they ran away. They were both dressed as men. Mm-hmm. Sarah had a pistol and her little dog named Frisk.
Frisk!
The moon was a bare sliver. Because she's a queer icon, and she wanted them to succeed. As they began their plan, which was to ride the 23 miles to the coast and then catch a ferry to England, where they would live somewhere in what they called delicious tenderness, seclusion, and retirement.
Aw, that's so gay.
It's real gay.
Aw.
Their relatives followed them in a frantic pursuit, and it was actually Frisk who gave them away. Because, you know, little dog, barky, barky. Because they were hiding in a barn because the ferry didn't actually leave until the morning.
So they weren't, like,
they really
very...
didn't do the plan good.
Yeah.
They were hauled back home, and Sarah added to the drama by coming down with a terrible fever.
Aw, Sarah, what you doing?
It took her almost a month to fully recover.
Dang.
But within that month, Eleanor, who was faced with a life sentence in a French convent, almost immediately ran away again. But this time, she ran to Sarah's house.
Mm-hmm.
And was helped in through the window by Sarah's housemaid, Mary Carroll. And then Mary also snuck in food and water for her and helped her hide in there for a while.
And go, Mary.
Mary's awesome. When she was finally discovered, the Founds tried to convince the butlers to come and, you know, take her home.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't.
Oh, that's got to feel good.
they said no, she's not worth the trouble. She's free to do whatever she wants. We're not gonna push her anymore.
She's 40.
What followed that was about 2 weeks of Sarah and Eleanor and Mary arguing that they should be allowed to go, and eventually Sarah's family agreed that, like, yes, okay, fine, just go. And they left again, this time with a mild blessing. And, you know, during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And with tickets.
Yeah.
And also with Mary.
Ah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mary sailed with them to England. And they were touring Wales in search of a home when Sir William Fownes got quite sick and died in agony.
Aw, what a shame.
I'm not sad about it. He actually died before his wife. Yeah.
Nice.
She died a month later. Hmm. Yeah.
That's nice. I was really rooting for Lady Betty.
Yeah, she seemed great, but, like, she was ill
like,
for a while.
What if she got better and, like, married a 23-year-old man?
That'd be hilarious. Mm-hmm. For a little while, the three of them rented a home in the village of Langlin, and then in 1780, they moved to a large cottage just outside the village that they called Plas Newydd, and Mary lived and worked with them until her death without pay.
That's not okay, unless, is it, was it, is
so it... I think it was either a familiar relationship or a deep, deep friendship, because they seemed to very much love Mary and Mary seemed to very much love them, and they, like, cared for her and, like, provided for everything that she needed. She just didn't take a salary.
Did she, like, work for them? Or was it, like, a roommate situation where, like, sometimes I cook, sometimes
I mean,
cook?
She was pretty old.
Okay.
They did also hire, like, other maids, a footman, a gardener, like, they hired a coachman when they needed to
so
go somewhere.
They were doing just fine.
I mean, they were constantly in debt because they were living well beyond their means and, like, relied on gifts from friends and reluctant family members. Yeah. They also had a penchant for renovations.
I like to think of myself as having a penchant for renovation.
They transformed this cottage into, like, a Gothic mansion with a large library, stained glass windows, pointed arches, like, dark Irish oak. And they also, quote-unquote, improved the land that their home sat on, thinking the natural scene a little too orderly. So out front of their home, they have this, like, large planned garden, and out back, there was this, like, huge ravine. just ridiculous. They sent their gardener out with his shovel to chip away at the rocks of the little waterfall because it looked too tidy.
They're the most extra people we've talked about
thus far. I know.
I
know. I adore them. Rustic was a massive trend at the time, and even Queen Charlotte was super into it. And the natural nature wasn't rustic enough, you see.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I see.
Other than that, like, I mean, they spent their time exactly as they said they would, reading, learning languages, writing, corresponding, sketching, gardening, painting. They also hosted many friends and curious visitors and sometimes family members. The two ladies who lived together and never left home were quite the spectacle, although that's not quite true. They have they kept extensive diaries, and we have proof that they slept apart sometimes. Their visitors included noted lesbian Anne Lister, who may have been inspired by them to marry her own partner informally.
Oh,
yeah.
That's sweet.
Maybe we'll learn about her later.
Yes.
Also on the visitor list were Anne Seward, Lord Byron, the Duke of Wellington, Percy Shelley, Caroline Lamb, who was born upon Sonby, like Sarah, and many others.
I've heard of most of those people.
Yeah.
I feel like whenever we start to talk about a gay person from this time period, Lord Byron and Percy Shelley just sort of show up.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like they were gay.
Stay tuned for a future episode for confirmation.
Queen Charlotte wanted to visit, but they wore this musky perfume that she couldn't stand the smell of. So she never did, but she did ask to see the plans for their garden, and she convinced King George III to grant them a pension.
Oh.
Yeah.
My stars.
And with, like, so much respect, eventually their families also came to tolerate them.
That's big of them.
Mm-hmm. The garden was overgrown and, like, wild, but had 40 different rose varieties, peach trees and vines, and just, like, growth everywhere.
That sounds beautiful.
As I said, there was a wild ravine behind the house, complete with a waterfall that was subject to their improvements. And they spent their days in the delicious seclusion of their home, their evenings reading French novels aloud to each other by firelight, sleeping in the same bed.
Aye.
They did also eat very well. They were pretty self-sufficient. They built a dairy on their land, and they had this lovely garden full of fruits and vegetables. They did receive and rely on gifts quite often, and the richness of their diet probably didn't help them with that debt, because they ate meat all year round. There's record of it.
Every time you add a little bit more to their home life, I have to adjust how big their home and lands are in my head.
Yeah, it was not small. They were known throughout the village as eccentric, and they dressed to match. They powdered their hair, which was totally out of fashion at the time. They wore men's top hats and black riding habits, which was practical for the outdoors, perhaps, but also very out of fashion. Eleanor kept pretty detailed diaries, of which only a few survive, but enough that we know a lot about their day-to-day lives and habits. Each entry begins with the time that they arose and the weather and a little bit about the scenery and the goings-on of the gardener, the visitors, the books they read, the food they ate. All the trivialities of the daily life were written down in this very tiny, neat script that you need, like, a magnifying glass to read. And Sarah is referred to quite often as my Sally, my beloved, my bee, the darling of my heart, the joy of my life, etc., etc.
When you were doing research for this, were there any websites that were trying to convince you that they were just good friends?
I'll get to it.
Okay. Because it seems pretty obvious to me. Admittedly, a biased listener.
At the end of, the end of the diary entry, each day is summed up with a single phrase, and I have a collection of some of them. A silent, happy day. Mm-hmm. An undisturbed, peaceful day. A day of sentiment and delight. This was a day that was after visitors. A tumultuous day.
Yes.
A day of delight and uninterrupted retirement.
Hmm.
Sweet converse with the delight of my heart.
Hmm.
They had a cow named Margaret.
Nice, of course they did.
Eleanor referred to as indelicate because she once mooed in front of the guests.
How dare she?
When either of the ladies was sick, their devotion was truly obvious. They literally didn't leave each other's side.
Hmm. Sounds codependent, but also very sweet.
And they lived together in retirement for 50 years.
Dang.
Mary Carroll lived with them for the rest of her life. She died in 1809. Eleanor died in 1829 when she was 90 years old.
Yeah, I was doing some math in my head.
Sarah was sitting with her on her deathbed, reading one of their beloved French novels out loud as she passed.
Oh.
And she died just 2 years later when she was 76.
Hmm.
The three of them, Sarah, Eleanor, and Mary, are buried in the same plot at St. Colleen's Church in Langolin under a three-sided monument.
That's so nice.
Mm-hmm. We'll definitely post pictures up on the Patreon and Insta and stuff. By all accounts, including their own, they were a non-sexual couple. They called it romantic friendship, but I'm going to call it two asexual lesbians, not knowing that was a thing they could be. Because they very clearly were in love and cared about each other more deeply than just a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely sounds like that. Oh, well, thank you for telling me about these two women who were in so much love.
You're welcome. I really, really enjoyed reading about them. There's a whole lot of information about them online, and I want to give a special shout-out to the site that I use the most.
Wikipedia.
No. I know, you're shocked. So that's ladiesoflangolin.wordpress.com. There's an incredibly involved bibliography that I worked through. Thank you so much for that. Truly appreciate the time and effort that you put into this. This person has been working on history and romantic friendship for years. It's really amazing. None of the sites tried to convince me that they weren't gay because they themselves were so offended and disgusted by the idea that they would have sex with each other that they quashed those rumors very quickly.
Hmm.
Because they were asexual.
Are we certain that they're asexual, or was that just something that they would...
They wrote down everything they did in their diaries, and there's no mention of sexual contact or desire.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense.
So.
They could be two asexual lesbians living together, loving each other.
Yeah. Why not?
Sweet.
Why can't I make that assumption?
I think you're right. I think you're on the money. And I think. Thank you. Just.
They loved each other so much.
Just gardening and painting. Being gay together.
They slept together every night, but like five.
for 50 years.
That's a pretty... That's a thing that usually you don't do with a friend.
Yeah. For a moment, I toyed with the idea that maybe they were a throuple with Mary.
I thought that's where it was going for a second.
Yeah, but, nah, I think they just really loved her, and she really loved them, and they took care of each other.
I think so.
But yeah, Ladies of Langlin. Pretty cool.
I want that to be a television ladies. Show.
Yeah.
Like a new Downton Abbey.
Yeah, that would be good. Gay. A Downton Abbey, but gay sounds really fun.
I mean, parts of Downton Abbey are still pretty gay.
True. All right. You ready to wrap this up?
Let's wrap it, baby. I'm going to say that again. I'm sorry.
I would love to thank Leslie for our logo design. As always, she has a plug for us.
Leslie says, remember to give yourself a long rest when you need to. Short rests are great when you need to keep going, but when your proverbial hit dice run out, you need to treat yourself and rejuvenate your health. That was a D&D reference.
Big D&D reference.
Mm-hmm. And it made my heart warm, made me think I do need to do that, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go get good sleep after this. Mm-hmm. Again, you can support us on Patreon for $7 a month at patreon.com/vintagelespod for even more Vintage Lesbians content. And you can follow us on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. All of that is at Vintage Lespod, or you can send us an email at vintagelespod@gmail.com. That's Vintage LESPOD. Follow us. I'm at justashan_.
I'm at Allison Humphreys. You can figure out how to spell that yourself. On Twitter and Instagram.
Thank you so much for listening to Vintage Lesbians. We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.